and seen the danger of hatred or dislike which arises not just once, many, many times a day, on and on, without understanding. But when there is understanding, then one realizes that it's so very brief, very temporary, very short. What's the use of like or dislike that, which disappear and disappear all the time? Even this or that, anything.
I guess it's more just a theoretical question, because it's happening. People are teaching stress reduction all over the world. And I guess it's really not important for what we're doing here in a way. It's more of kind of a waste of time in a way. But is there no value to the people who do it? Or is there just, you know, a little bit of...
Why do we talk about realities? Because we know that they are only elements, everything is only different element, right? But since there is the element of ignorance, so one see the danger of ignorance, and one see the advantages of understanding. That's why we keep on talking about it, to have little by little some more understanding of reality, which is better than other thing else, because no one can stop unwholesomeness when there is still ignorance. But when there is more understanding, it conditions many wholesome realities.
Thank you.
Those prisoners who do this kind of relaxation meditation might perform less akusala kamapata in their one lifetime without understanding, but at the end of this one lifetime they won't have gained any understanding, so they won't be any closer to liberation. But the fact that they perform less akusala kamapata, that's something. It's not enough, but it's something, I think.
Accumulating akusala. Accumulating more ignorance.
More ignorance.
And often it's what happens is that mistaking akusala for kusala and attaching to that.
Well, these prisoners, for example, aren't thinking about kusala and akusala. It's nothing about dhamma.
No, it's not dhamma, but you know, good.
Good
versus evil. They think that they're not doing bad. So what they're doing is good.
I guess I'm just thinking about they're not beating their family members, they're not killing their neighbors, they're not stealing. That's something, I guess, isn't it?
I think that not many people are interested to know or to understand reality at all.
No.
What about ourselves, oneself? If you don't understand, can we help the other to understand?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Can I just ask this question again, because it struck me talking about chichas being dark, and so dark. I had heard you say that before, but it suddenly struck me very much this time.
Yeah.
So, are all chichas dark?
Right.
Except yes.
Because what is seen is only visible object.
And I know we talked about it yesterday too, about this hearing consciousness, that's dark.
All jitas and jetasikas and rupas except visible object.
Except visible object.
Mm-hmm. Including seeing.
Yes. I mean, I had never thought of it that way.
So imagine the darkest must be chitta.
It's... Thank
because
you.
There is no eye sense and visible object at all. So how can it not as dark?
Yeah. Thank you.
But still, it experiences. This is the characteristic of what we talk about, citta, the faculty of experiencing an object, which is not feeling, not memory, not hate, or attachment. And it's here and now, from life to life, succeeding one another, just one citta at a time. So talking about oneself and the other, this life is you are Kundev. Next life you are the other.
And
who were you last life? See? So it's only the succession of the arising and falling away of elements that no one can stop. The succession of it their way.
Well, actually, when you say this life could be, next life, who are you? But actually, only ever cheetahs, cheetah seekers, because no matter what name is put on them.
We have to use the name to know what kanda is there. That's all.
And like you said, well, we tend to be very concerned about, well, the people in the prisons in America and the whole wide world. And as you said, actually very few people interested in understanding. And what about the understanding now? And sometimes people are also, well, concerned about the decline of the sasana and then what will happen to the foundation and all these kinds of issues. And one of our friends who visited recently at the foundation, Alberto, he mentioned that he asked about the disappearance of the Aryans and he was worried about the expiry date. And he said that you said that it's self that does that, trying to stamp that figure on the sasana. So when people ask about when the teachings are going to die out and this and that, he said that such concern is self that does that, trying to make a mark. What do you mean by that?
Now we think of that friend and we think of prisoners. What about now? What kind of citta is there now? Not knowing about this, but trying to know and to help the others only in thinking. Can anyone help the prisoner? In what way? While one does not help one's own citta to have more understanding. To be concerned is kusala or akusala?
Being concerned sounds like attachment. And could be
why?
Said...
Why one says that it's
that
attachment?
That one's not working.
Why can't it be kusala?
No, like, you know... what's being discussed about
it sounds
wondering
it
whether
seems.
Whether the prisoners, whatever they're doing, it's good or not, whether it's some good or not, and spending time thinking and sometimes even wanting to do something about it. Sometimes that's just because there's no seeing the danger of ignorance now, because thinking with attachment and then wanting to do something about it is not seeing the danger of the ignorance that's arising now. Is this what you were saying earlier?
Because one has to know exactly at moment of being concerned whether it's wholesome or unwholesome, kusala or akusala. Otherwise one have akusala and taking it for kusala. And you said that it's akusala?
Well, if there's no understanding now, then there's no way of knowing. Mm-hmm. So we're just following the idea.
Theoretical knowledge? Is it akusala or kusala?
The right understanding is kusala.
Concern, being concerned for others.
It depends. Well, I was thinking particular... objects of concern, like ideas about groups of people and...
Because we know theoretically that when citta is akusa, it's not calm. And while one is concerned, it's calm. Or
worry.
See?
Like concerned about
whether I will take the lady out, whether I will visit the hospital, what will happen to the foundation.
If you don't know this, we'll have more and more akusala.
But can't concern be karuna?
It depends.
I think karuna is very rare.
When there is calm.
And no unpleasant mental
feelings.
When it's
not disturbed by akusala, then it's kusala.
It's hard to imagine karuna, having compassion for others without any kind of unpleasant mental feeling. I think it shows how rare the real karuna is.
Right.
Because usually when we think of compassion, it's full of our
sadness. Sadness.
But there should be a feeling of wanting to do something to alleviate the suffering of others, but without any sadness or
sorrow or worry.
With what kind of feeling?
With calm.
Really?
It would be pleasant.
Would it be pleasant?
Joy? Pleasant or neutral?
Pleasant or neutral. If it's not unpleasant, it must be pleasant or
so
neutral.
So it's only what you call thinking about it, not the understanding of any reality. So it's not very correct to say. But when it's there with, and there is right understanding of it, the reality cannot be changed. Kusala is kusala and akusala is akusala.
In a way, understanding realities is the most difficult. But then, on the other hand, it's also can happen anytime.
Can it become less most difficult?
It is most difficult.
Can it become less?
Can it become a little easier, a little less difficult?
It can, when it becomes Indriya and Bala, especially when it's...
But even before that?
Well, I'm comparing with Samatha, actually. When we think about developing other kinds of kusala, compassion or whatever, those are only in certain with particular objects, whereas understanding can understand any reality at any time. So in one way, it is easier. That's what I was trying to say. It is easier in the sense that it can understand any reality at any time, whereas those, it has to be very specific. Metta has one object, karuna has another object, dana, and it's not all day that you have opportunity to have these chittas. So it's like both. One way it is, it's difficult to have right understanding. It's rare. But it can happen at any time,
so
with any object.
One can say that one always thinks about that which hasn't come yet. Like the prisoner here and there, see? What about that which is now appearing? Otherwise we'll miss the opportunity to develop understanding. And we just wait and just think about that which has come yet.
This morning we talked about not yet, not time yet for understanding. Didn't the Buddha teach to people in many different ways, some people who were not ready to understand realities?
So that the time will come to understand.
Buddha
says in order that one day the time will come to understand.
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
Until then. Mm. When time comes to understand.
But what would he teach about?
Reality right now.
He would teach about reality.
The truth, the arising and falling away of each moment, each conditioned reality.
When we read about, for example, the Buddha meeting the leper on the road and first giving him a teaching about right view of karma and mother and father, and it seems like it sounds like more conventional topics, and then when the mind is ready, the Buddha would teach the deeper topics. That's usually what people feel. So some people might say that you teach deeper topics immediately.
I don't have enough time to talk a lot about the other things.
I see. Yeah. And the other things are not enough. Yes, yes. Well, I think that's why we appreciate
life is so short.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the best gift is right understanding.
Mm-hmm. Well, we really appreciate it.
But they would say the Buddha didn't have any more time, and he still gave a gradual teaching rather than just talking about.
So it depends on the listeners. Can you talk to children anywhere on the street?
How do you talk about Dhamma to children? Do you talk about realities?
Anattas.
Anattas.
They have to grow up each day and different moments, like sometimes having pleasant feeling and sometimes not. Mm. Yeah.
And the pleasant feeling doesn't last. Mm.
And what do they like?
Sarah told a nice story about meeting a child in, was it in Hong Kong, who was crying at the beach, was it? And behaving very badly and complaining because he wasn't getting what he wanted.
It's time to
he
be friendly.
The food
see?
Well, I can't remember. Don't you remember that?
On the beach, crying.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so teaching children to appreciate it.
It's time to be kind and be friendly. And help that way, little by little. No need to recite metta.
just begin to, you know, even with small children, I can just begin to just show.
To be metta instantly.
Just be friendly, yeah. So it's not a matter of planning what to do, but just if there's a chance, just to help.
Yeah, so this idea about gradual training, I want to make it a little clear. What I understand is that whoever that audience was, they had high panya. They probably got enlightened at the end, right?
Well, that's the usual answer on DSG, but in the sutta it says that when the Buddha saw the mind was ready to receive the deep teaching, so that means that the Buddha saw the mind wasn't ready at the beginning of the discourse. So how can we say that there was panya at the beginning? I mean, I'm not defending this gradual training theory in the way I used to, but at the beginning the Buddha saw his mind wasn't ready, and then when the Buddha saw that the mind was ready, he taught the Four Noble Truths.
It may be just that he's never heard in terms of Paramattha Dhammas. But even talking about karma and rebirth is not anything shallow. I mean, for him to even accept it would require some understanding. I don't understand this idea about gradual teachings. How would it be? Like, you're talking to your...
Intentionally?
But is that a gradual...
Intentionally, to make it step by step like that, or you know what to say?
Just know what to say, but it's nothing like this is a lower level and that's higher level. Is there? I mean, it's still Dhamma.
People are different.
Just some people are not ready to hear certain things.
What one should say.
It's similar to what the Buddha gave different objects to different people, like the rose made of gold and the white cloth. It's not anything that's like that's lower level of Dhamma and then the higher level of Dhamma. Just different accumulations, what needs to trigger, right?
What is appropriate at the time.
So one can see that if that girl didn't have accumulation to listen to
her.
Right,
that's what I'm also, yeah.
The same with Ajahn, if she's with a child, she's not going to just start talking about seeing invisible objects. So it just depends on the circumstance and whether there's any interest at all and at what someone can appreciate.
I think it's like when, for me, this time when Ajahn says that the cheetahs are so dark, so very dark. I mean, I had heard her say yeah. that before, mm-hmm. even at Cape Ajahn. I remember, and it, I
but it's
remember.
The same statement.
It's the same statement, but this time, it's very powerful. It's affected me much more. Even though I heard it before, I maybe didn't think about it as much, but now, hearing it, it's got on a deeper level of meaning to me.
Yeah, and it might condition the understanding of seeing right now.
Yeah.
It's not like it's for option.
Mm. Mm.
So when talking about karma and conditioned understanding of seeing or thinking,
when I first joined DSG, I was asking about the paramis, which I called at that point the paramitas, and I was very, very, very attracted to the idea of gaining all these possessions to be a more perfect person, and that's where my understanding was at that point. And I did something click when I learned about Abhidhamma. And there was something there that clicked, but it took longer for me to accept that by understanding seeing now and hearing now, that that's all the understanding that...
So when you first arrived and started asking some questions about the paramis, if the reply had just been about seeing invisible objects, you would have left, you wouldn't have been interested. So it has to relate to that person's understanding and interest at the time. Otherwise, it's not appropriate.
And you're very good at that, Sarah, I must say.
Only sometimes.
And what paramis we are developing now?
I don't think about paramis anymore, I just think about kusala.
But even if you don't think about it, is it barpi or not?
I'm sorry?
Even if you don't think about the word parami, mm-hmm. now is it parami or not?
Mm-hmm.
What paramis now?
Virya, kanti. No, kanti is virya. Metta, panya.
Panya barami, with virya barami, with khanti barami, with satya barami.
Samadhi as well. Because he's concentrating, listening. Yeah.
10 paramis.
Yes.
Not more than 10. So what are the 10?
Renunciation. Sila.
Dana, sila.
Dana, sila. Renunciation.
Nekama.
Varia. Sati. Sati is. No?
10 paramis.
Sati is not there. Upika is there. Metta is there. Aditana is there.
Did we say Kanti?
Kanti is there.
That's why someone tried very hard to have samadhi, thinking that is one of the paramis.
I was not familiar with the 10 paramis.
Here they are.
Oh, okay.
You can read them.
So one is dana, sila, renunciation, vipanya, varia, Kanti, Satya, Aditana, Metta, and Ubika.
Ubika.
Somehow I thought sati and samadhi was part of it. He wasn't, okay.
It's interesting that kanti is actually virya chetasika. There's no chetasika that is kanti, that is patience, it's virya. And samvega is also virya and panya. There must be understanding, of course. People are very attracted to these words, samvega. You know, it's such an attractive idea, but without understanding, it's just counterproductive.
But Varia is Varia.
Kanti is Kanti. They are separate, right? In Parami.
No, but I'm talking about Chetasika.
Oh,
there is no Kanti Chetasika. Okay. It's a Varia.